Today's episode is sponsored by... You're listening to The Keith Show, starring Keith. I'm Keith. With me today are the newest of mutants, the man with a song in his voice and a dance in his step, Alan White.
Oh, God.
And the grandfather of noise, the man, the myth, the legend, Derek Coward.
Hello.
Okay.
What's happening? What is this? What is happening right now?
I don't know. I picked a hell of a day to stop cocaine.
My cocaine. The what? Star of Jaws 3. And Batman Begins.
What's it all about, Alfie?
Yeah, and Alfie, yes. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody.
Fanfare. Woo!
Alan's, whatever he is, he is.
I'm feeling good. It's a nice Sunday afternoon for me. I'm attaching to the call on a nice Sunday afternoon. I don't know where you guys are in time and space,
but I'm on the
where
ice.
I'm recording from.
I'm on the ice planet Hoth.
Hmm.
It certainly feels that.
Is it really bad up there?
Yeah. According to what I read, it's actually currently colder than the planet Mars.
Oh, I saw that. Was that on your page? I saw that?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, so get that going for me. So I'm currently curled up inside of a tauntaun. I mean, it smells bad inside here, but...
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah.
We'll allow it.
What we're going to be doing today is talking about some Marvel TV stuff. We're going to talk about the first half of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., kind of do an episode-by-episode thing. And then we're going to talk about the premiere of Agent Carter, which was actually a 2-episode premiere.
Yeah, I'm glad that Hulu had its ducks in a row, because I didn't know what I was looking for. I just know I was looking for Agent Carter, and then it said episode 2, because it leads with the latest one that they... And then it said episode 2, and I was like, no! What the hell? Did I miss it? But it was they were all together.
Yes. Okay, I'm thinking because it came first, we'll do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of go from there. The season premiere was called Shadows. It opens with Peggy Carter and her SSR team raiding a Hydra base led by the villainous Nazi scientist Daniel Whitehall.
I like to call him Pinhead.
Dr. Pinhead, where they uncover a mysterious obelisk and the blue alien body previously seen as the source of the healing drug that saved Coulson's life. Flash forward to nowadays, the Coulson's team is monitoring a deal about the location of the obelisk, when Absorbing Man shows up on the scene.
Gets jacked to the nines.
Gets the info for Hydra. Meanwhile, they're being hunted by General Glenn Talbot.
Noodlehead Ned. I got that from the comics, I think. Or the animated? I didn't make it up. I know that.
So, new character, Lance Hunter.
Which no, He's not a new character. He's in the Marvel comics. He's in the 616.
Yes. New character for to the show though.
Oh yes, true.
Leads a team of his mercenaries starring Xena Warrior Princess.
And how he got her, I don't know. He must have gone. What land did she come from? Was that ancient Greece?
She comes from a land down under. Where the princesses are warriors and the men chunder. And I don't know what chundering is, but apparently...
probably not. That's probably not the word. Probably.
I don't know. Meanwhile, they get attacked by Absorbing Man, attempting to... He gets the obelisk from them. Xena dies. And we end with a cliffhanger on Creel giving the obelisk to Dr. Pinhead.
Yep.
Looking exactly the same as he did back in 1945. Whoa, true. Whoa, what?
Right. Very, very, it was very, what is going on here? Only he had different clothes on, so he wasn't wearing the same clothes from World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, didn't you think that Xena was going to stay around for a while?
They certainly hyped her up to be a new component of the show, and then they killed her, which was nice to play with your expectations like that.
And not only that, but they didn't kill her right off, though. She grabbed the obelisk, and then what we saw in the beginning of the episode was back in World War II, if you grab the obelisk with your naked hand, you get all ossified and crumbly, and you die. So we knew there was a problem going in if you touched it. She touched it during the course of her modern-day adventure, and it was creeping up her hand, right? It
didn't. And she's like, cut my arm off.
Yeah, so they cut her – so Lance Hunter, right? He cut her arm off.
He didn't get a chance to, though.
So it was creeping up very slowly, and they didn't get a chance to cut it off, and then they crashed, and then she died in the crash.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. But since it didn't kill her right off, you thought there was going to be a chance of her surviving and maybe getting the arm cut off, and then whatever she has to compensate with, maybe a bionic arm or something? I don't know. Something cool for her to be in the rest of the series? But no. The van flipped over because Crusher Creel was out there. And absorbed what, the asphalt or something?
Yes.
And then hit him, did the old
thing. Stood there and let the car hit him.
Yeah. That's always a cool effect to me. Just and then flip over this immovable object.
Now, how do you guys think, what do you think of Absorbing Man in this show?
I'll let Derek tell you. No.
I kind of liked it. Bringing him in would shut up the critics from the first season who kept saying, this doesn't feel like the Marvel Universe. This doesn't feel like the Marvel Universe. Well, there you go. You got a big name supervillain right from the start. So, you know, shut up. And
it's nice because it's somebody that you really don't think they're going to use in the cinematic universe, like in any of the big movies. So use them on TV.
Right. He's not going to be taking on the Avengers anytime soon.
No. And I really dug the thing I love, which I think might have been an invention for the show, that he had kind of an addiction to textures. He kept his little drawers full of different elements, and he'd like, oh, now I'm, I don't know, sedimentary rock.
Right.
Now I'm wool.
Yeah, I feel so warm and cozy as wool.
Now I'm a pink chalk.
Yeah,
stick of chalk. I thought I that's cool. That's a cool take that it was an addiction. I thought maybe he was a little smarter about his absorbing powers and that he would have material on hand already just in case he couldn't find anything.
Well.
But how could you not find anything, right? If you're out on the street, just touch the street. And if there's lots of hard stuff all around.
Was it this episode or the one after it where he actually grabs the ball and chain?
It was either that or maybe even three episodes in. How long
was he it? Was only in the first two.
Oh, so maybe it was at the end of the first. I think maybe they satisfied us early on that one. It was nice.
Yeah, just Baldwin for James. People who didn't get the point that, yes, this is absorbing, man.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the fact that he looked so much. Well, except he didn't have a bullet-shaped head, though. They tend to draw a Crusher Creel with that bullet-shaped head. Yeah. Just a naturally bullet-shaped head. I guess that was a little
bit too much. Well, it's hard to find an actor with one of those.
Yeah. I wonder if they hadn't modeled what they draw about him in the original on that guy that played that geek was in The Hills Have Eyes. What was that guy's name? Robert? I don't know.
I don't know. Absorbing Man might predate that.
But that, well, maybe. Maybe you're
right.
Because
he was created in the 60s, wasn't he?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was one of Thor's first villains.
Okay. But now he looks, so that real life guy came along and just happened to look like Crusher Creel.
Imprison him. He's Absorbing Man.
Yeah, that's not really. Yeah.
So,
I guess we all got to be known for something, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk new characters that were introduced in this. Because we have two new ongoing characters, and that's Lance Hunter.
In the comics, he's a lot more sophisticated and refined.
He's a bureaucrat in the comics.
Yeah.
Now, where is he from in the comics? I don't.
Captain Britain, I think.
Yeah, Marvel UK. He was running one of the
Strike.
There you go. And he would wear a bowler hat, I think, and he would have like a pencil thin mustache and kind of fall into that stereotype.
And then there's Alfonso Mack McKenzie, who becomes well, that's another topic entirely, is Fitz. But I found out Mack is also from the 616.
Yep, that was a discovery for me too. I didn't know it.
He was from one of the early Nick Fury comics. Apparently he wound up dating the Countess.
Mm-hmm. And was he a brother of color?
I don't know.
In the 616? Well, let me look it up then. I'll look it up while you go and do your thing.
Yeah, I like him because he's an interesting character because he provides a nice counterpoint to somebody who didn't know Fitz before before he was brain damaged.
Right. Oh, he looks like a white dude. Al McKenzie. This picture of him is with white hair, no less.
So an older gentleman.
Yeah. But he didn't know Fitz before the brain damage, so when he met him, he was like, okay, so this is Fitz.
Yeah.
And he's not related to Fitz like Fitz.
Yeah, he doesn't have any expectations of him. So they hit it off quickly.
Now there's one to grow on, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lesson. People want to be treated like they just want to be treated for who they are, regardless of where they are when you meet them, or where they are when you're dealing with them. They want somebody to treat them right, treat them normal. Don't treat them like they're a special case, even if they are a special case.
Yeah. And the Fitz's problem was he still knew everything. He just couldn't get it out there.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder what in his character set him up to be to be able to approach that in that way.
In terms of what do you mean?
Of not going, oh, is he going to be okay? He got brain damage now. We better make sure that we treat him right.
I think just because he had no expectations of him whatsoever, he just, okay, this is, I just met you. This is all I know of you.
Plus, it seemed like they had video games in common.
Yeah.
They like to play. I like those scenes where every once in a while you see him just absorbed in a game, and whatever was going on in the background, he wasn't, Mac wasn't too concerned with because he was too busy getting his shoot on.
He's like, no, you need to be playing this game now. It's good for your hand-eye coordination. It's it's a therapy right now.
Yeah. And mine. It's good for me, too.
Yeah.
Let's be therapeutic together. So I liked the Absorbing Man. I liked him. He wasn't as verbal. I mean, his verbal scripts weren't. His dialogue wasn't what I would expect from Crusher Creel, but that's okay. This is the cinematic universe. I don't guess he's going to talk like 1960s Stan Lee's New York street villain.
Yeah, she?
Right, see, yeah.
And yes, we got to see Peggy Carter, Dum Dum Dugan, and Jim Morita in this episode.
True. Very true. So now, I don't know. Let me resist jumping all the way to Agent Carter, but we saw her at the beginning of this season in a position already of authority, having made S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's not where the...
No, this was back during the war. This was her with the Howling Commandos.
So no S.H.I.E.L.D.? No oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.? Right. This is before she hit stateside and went into the offices.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. I gotta hand it to you. When you're right.
And I'm always right. Episode 2, Heavy as the Head. Creel has the obelisk. It's slowly he's absorbing it and dying from it. He later meets up with Reyna, who offers to help him.
She's worming her way into the graces of anybody that's going to give her a benefit. She is a slinky little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always got those... She's got those alluring eyes, big old wet alluring eyes, until things are going south. Then they just kind of crinkle and they turn into, oh, shit, eyes. Always.
She's currently trying to obtain the obelisk for the mysterious doctor, who is Skye's father, played by Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, so this was early in between you and me starting our messaging about who he might be and then who Skye might be as a result of who he might be. And I think you nailed it right at the beginning, like this episode probably when we were messaging. You nailed it right.
Well,
then.
I had a suspicion in season one as to who she might be.
You were and now where'd you get your suspicion? Just out of your head?
Well, okay, let's jump ahead, and she's turns out to be Daisy Johnson, Quake. Just kind of the role she was fulfilling, it was obvious that they had an idea for her being a known character by the fact that they had a mystery about it. So we knew that there had to be a mystery, and I was thinking of, well, who could it be, and it was obviously somebody who had some sort of power, who had some kind of villainous parent, who joins S.H.I.E.L.D., has a kind of father figure there. In this case, it's Coulson instead of Fury. And it kind of lined up to my mind.
Hmm. Well, that was good. And you read the S.H.I.E.L.D., Secret War or what?
Secret Warriors?
Yeah, that. But the one before that Jonathan Hickman wrote.
Yeah, Secret Warriors.
So you read all that ahead of time? Like, you had already read all that?
Yes.
Okay. Because I didn't. I started it, but I think I started with S.H.I.E.L.D. when his miniseries with Reed Richards' father and...
Did he ever wind up finishing that?
No. So that's a big reason why I stopped trying to read it, because it started to slow down and come out very intermittently. And then the Secret Warriors came out, and there was some kind of connection there, but because the first one wasn't continuing, I didn't want to get caught up in the other thing.
Yeah.
But since you did, you had that idea. And she was created for that series?
Actually created by Bendis for the Secret War miniseries.
Right. Yes. That's what I... Yeah.
But yes. It was obviously a backdoor intro for the Secret Warriors series.
Okay.
So...
Well, I had no idea, but when you said that the Doctor could be Mr. Hyde, I looked up who Mr. Hyde was in the wiki, and everything fell in line then, that if his daughter was Daisy Johnson, Skye could fall into that category of Daisy Johnson very easily. And then I just held on to that possibility, and it came out. It was true.
Damn, I'm smart.
I'm afraid so, Keith. You're gonna, I don't know what you're going to do with all that.
I don't know.
Oh, that's smart.
Waste it.
Oh, try not to.
Lance Hunter is captured by General Talbot's men. Talbot releases him, thinking that Hunter's going to help him get S.H.I.E.L.D., but Hunter just wants revenge against Absorbing Man. Kind of blows a mission trying to assassinate Absorbing Man. Fitz and Mac are able to build a weapon that incapacitates Creel, locks him into one form for a while. They hand him over to Talbot. And episodes end, Reyna and Skye's father have the obelisk.
Right. So, remind me when they show that Reyna could touch the obelisk. Because there was a...
I think at the end of that episode?
It was at the end of that one? Okay.
Derek, yeah. Confirm this?
Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. I thought it was when they had... I know White House, whatever his name is.
Hall.
Reed Diamond.
Colonel Pinhead.
Yeah, okay, yeah. When I know that he was in there, and he basically had her hand forced onto the obelisk, right?
That was later with Skye.
Okay, all right, then I don't...
Well, that scene did happen, though. If it wasn't in this episode, it would be somewhere along the line,
yeah,
early in the season, because that reminded me of just Raina's personality. It's strange to me because she's an opportunist, but she's also kind of this belief. She has this belief system in the world and her place in it, and these powers and meanings and worth. And she seems to always be looking for her own worth, hoping that she's worth more than, I don't know who's telling her she's not worth stuff, but she wants to be this grandiose figure in the scheme of things. And when Pinhead said
Kraken
to take it and touch it or whatever, she looked scared. She looked like, okay, you may be trying to kill me here, but she also looked like, and I want to believe that I can touch it. I want to believe that I'm special.
Yeah.
And she slowly went, and when she touched it, it's like she's risking her life. Like, if I'm not special, if when I touch this I die, then I'd rather be dead because I want to be special, so I'm just going to touch this. That's mm-hmm. kind of the feeling I had about it.
Yeah.
And she didn't die.
I think you nailed Reyna's personality right there.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if I like her yet, though. I mean, I still don't know.
Well, she's definitely an opportunist. She would backstab anyone if it got her what she wanted.
Yeah. Oh, I can,
yeah, but is it really backstabbing when you know that about her?
Hmm.
You know, if you turn
it's
your back...
It's like front stabbing.
I don't know. You know she's a snake, right? That like the song, like the
with those
like the story goes. You know, you knew I was a snake. You know, when you saved me.
Yeah.
You know you're gonna get bit. So I don't know. I like her. I like the character.
So it's on you, right?
Right, pretty much. I mean, I don't understand why anybody from S.H.I.E.L.D. would ever turn their back on her for a second.
You know? Well, I don't think any of them have, fortunately.
Yeah. So that's a good point. That's her. I'll tell you who I hate, who I clearly hate. You haven't mentioned him yet.
Huh.
I hate Ward.
Grant Ward. Was this the episode that Fitz tries to kill him?
Maybe. Because in the first episode, they reveal that they have Ward in their basement.
Yeah.
In some magic plexiglass thing where you don't have to pay for any kind of bars to put up on the set. Pretend like there's some barrier between you and him.
It's a Star Trek prison.
Yeah. And so that was supposed to be a oh wow moment, but for me it was a god damn it moment, because I just want him dead. I just always want him dead.
Well,
he's so much more interesting as a bad guy, though.
I was just about to say that.
I'm sitting there the first half of season one, I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want this guy to lose his job, because I'm sure he's a nice guy, but his character
he served no purpose.
And then they made him a bad guy, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You know, that's how I feel about Fitz's brain damage. Mm. You know, I mean, they have Simmons, who's just as smart, if not smarter, so why do they need two brainiacs? And then when they gave him his
because he's Scottish.
Yeah, but they gave him his brain damage. They gave him this personality tick and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, now he's interesting.
I can see that. I can see both cases of that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hate Ward when he was uninteresting. And now that he's a villain, I do hate him. So I guess making me feel something about him is better than nothing.
Yeah,
that was the thing. He was just there, and it's like there's nothing they can do with him that they can't do with May, who is way more interesting. Give him something to do.
Well, and the fact that they had that one little tryst of his and May's. May was getting her itch scratched using him for that, and then you find out that he was using her to get himself into their graces. That was a pretty interesting turn. So I mean, okay, so they redeemed the character by making him a villain, or having revealed that he's
always been a villain. They redeemed him by making a villain.
Yeah, story wise. But do you not? I believe now that was always the case from day one, that he was always going to be Hydra, because I believe that when they started the series, that the turn of Hydra was always scripted into the second Captain America movie. What do you think?
It would have had to have been.
I'm going to say yes and no. Yes, they hoped for it, but not necessarily because they didn't know they were going to get a full season order.
Okay. But if they... Maybe they would just... playing the long game, just hoping that all the money that the Avengers and that whole franchise was making was going to float the show, even if the ratings were low.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that when they cast this dude and gave him direction in the first couple of episodes, all these episodes up until Captain America 2 came out, I'm wondering if they didn't just tell him, keep it low-key and flat, because you're actually playing a Hydra agent trying to get in with the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents from day one.
I bet if they did that, he was the only one who knew.
Yeah.
Oh. Ha! That
he,
would be
he cool. did say, I saw an interview with him there, he said he knew significantly before everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when he was knocking boots with May, for instance, that they didn't... they didn't have when they were writing the series that, oh, let's have these two characters do something interesting. Let's just have them have a let's just let this happen because we're bored and we don't have a good direction for the show. It was like they knew he was Hydra and they knew the impact it would have on the characters and us, the viewers, if he got in with May and then suddenly, or not so suddenly, he's Hydra.
Well, I think that they put him with May because at first they were teasing that it was him and Sky in that room. Remember that episode?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So we were thinking, oh, okay, so these two finally got together. And then when May came, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't know he had it in him. Okay, way to go.
I think in this case, she had it in her.
Oh, okay. See, again, that wasn't me. For the record. Good one, though. I'll remember that.
Yeah, apparently the rest of the cast didn't find out until they called them in to shoot a final scene for that episode where they did the reveal. They handed them a couple extra script pages. And they're all like, you're what?
That's cool. Oh, that's fantastic. But see, I was mad because, I mean, not just mad. I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad at anybody. Okay. None of the creative people. Just the storyline. Like how I'll get hooked into any storyline. It doesn't matter what it is. Soap opera, comic book, whatever. It's like I'm a character in the story. And when Ward shot and killed Victoria Hand and these other guys, I'm like, that's it right there. No more. There's no redemption for this guy at all in my mind going forward now.
And you know, that's what I like about this second season is he's not really looking for redemption from anybody.
Oh, he's a psychopath.
Yeah. At most, he's looking for not even understanding, just acceptance from Sky, but from everybody else. It's like, eh, I don't really care.
That's true. That's true.
He is a straight up psychopath.
It's oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, yeah, he's much. I can appreciate his character a lot more, and I appreciate that I hate him. Yeah. I want him to pay for his psychopathy.
Oh yeah, I think eventually when he does pay, he'll pay in a big way. Because that's what Joss Whedon and his people do. They either string you along forever or they make you pay, and they make you pay big time.
Good. I'm waiting for that. Now, I'm not just watching you for that, but that'll be a good day.
Yeah.
Okay, episode 3, Making Friends and Influencing People. The return of Blizzard from last season.
Briefly.
It turns out that he has undergone conditioning from Hydra, which astute viewers will have picked up was name-checked as the Faustus method.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is also the episode they introduce Agent 33, who also underwent the Faustus method. Basically, they just reveal that Simmons has been working undercover within Hydra. Hydra's trying to recover Blizzard to use as a weapon, and in the end, Sky shoots him with a sniper rifle.
And that was, yeah, that was a, to me, that was an interesting character piece on Sky, because we were now getting to find out that Sky has been being molded into to more of an agent and less of a hacker chick that was picked up by S.H.I.E.L.D. and that she's
being turned into Mae Jr.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because under the old S.H.I.E.L.D. they'd have to have field agents and they'd have to have analysts. And that's what she was for the most of the first season. But now that they have this new shield, it's like everybody's got to be
a all fan. Hands on deck.
Right.
Yeah. And then we find out that she's capable. She can do it.
Because
her heart rate didn't change when she pulled the trigger and put the dude down.
Yeah, and I also find it kind of telling that the first kill that we see her do like that
was a relatively innocent type person.
Right. It was a sniper rifle. She didn't have to get up close.
Mm.
If she had to look somebody in their eye and, you know, and shiv them, then that would have been one thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is. So she got away with, okay. So her first kill was that.
Yeah,
she had that opportunity when we get to it, and she didn't take it. And I was now that made me mad too. I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do the other thing? He was right there. He was right there.
Episode 4, Face My Enemy. This is the one where Coulson and May are basically eye-screwing each other the entire episode.
Is this the one where they danced?
Yeah.
I call this one in the Avengers episode. Because it was Steel and Emma Peel.
That Avengers.
Yeah, that's nice. That's the first thing I thought when they had him in his get-ups.
You realize how long Coulson and May have actually known each other in this episode?
Yeah,
like way back since they were like kids, practically.
Do you think that they had a tryst?
No.
Hmm.
I think they both thought about it. But
I always thought they did, and that Sky was their kid until they came up with, oh no, here's her father. I was like, oh okay, well that explains that.
Yeah, that takes them out of the, at least that took Coulson out of the equation.
Well, she's practically their kid
now.
Yeah.
Are you okay with them taking that kind of parental role over her instead of the agents you know, the utility of being agents?
I think it makes sense with Sky's character.
Because she's hungry for her parents?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were in Coulson's position, would you let yourself be pulled into that dynamic?
I think Coulson couldn't help it. Because that's just who Coulson is. He's Mr. Nice Guy. Despite the fact that he's having to make tough decisions and run this espionage organization, he's still like, Mr. I'm going to collect Captain America trading cards.
Thank you. I did not put that together.
That's and on right. top of that, what else is he going to do with her? He brought her into this life. He can't just say, you know what, it's getting too dangerous. Maybe you should go out there on your own.
Have fun.
Yeah. Hey, kid, it's been good. Good luck.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, okay, I accept that.
And Agent 33 wears one of those holographic nano mask things, impersonates May, and we have the May on May fight,
which was one of the best choreographed fights they've had on the series. One of the best I've seen on TV in a long time.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
The takedown at the end of the fight,
yes.
Where she does the flip over in slow motion and slams her head into the table.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I found a GIF of that, and I put it on my webpage, on Facebook. It was epic. So epic. I wonder if that's possible in real life.
I wouldn't want to find out.
It just looked painful.
Yeah. Good God.
And then stuck the electrical cord in her face.
Well, that's because she wouldn't stay down. She should have stayed down with that whole face slam into the table thing. I would have.
Yeah.
But I'm out. Baby, you got this. Go ahead. Go. I'm just lay here for a while.
Yeah.
You finish fighting. It's like, all right, up. Nope, we're done. We're done.
You totally dominated me. I will fix my pride at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. By episode's end, Reyna is confronted by, let's just call him Kraken because that's who he is, even though they never called him that in the show.
Why do you then? Because of what?
That's who the character is.
In the 616?
Yes.
Okay. Daniel Whitehall is Kraken in the 616.
Okay. He tells her, bring me the obelisk or I'm going to kill you. So that's where the episode ends.
Does that mean that S.H.I.E.L.D. had gotten the obelisk from him in this episode?
No. Skye's father had it.
Oh, okay. Did he stole it from them?
He stole it from
Whitehall.
Yes.
Okay. And oh, that's right, because Reyna is working for the doctor as well. Okay. And did she get it for him?
Yes, from Absorbing Man.
It's all together now. It's all in my head now. I got it.
The next episode is A Hen in the Wolf House. Deals mostly with Simmons undercover in Hydra, being chased by quote unquote Hydra security chief Bobby Morse.
Yeah. So I was let down by the hype of the character and the actress playing the character, which is Adrienne Palicki. Is that how you say her name?
Sure.
Because when they told us in far advanced that she's going to be on the show as Mockingbird, then you know as soon as she shows up on the screen that she's Mockingbird. But when they introduced her, she's supposed to be a big Hydra integrator that was putting Simmons in peril by...
So it kind of blew the surprise?
Like, hugely! Because they didn't reveal her until like 3/4 of the show.
That's TV, though. They always have to do stuff like that. TV, unless it's with an existing character, it's kind of hard to have a surprise on TV. Because there are a couple of times when we were watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where they will introduce somebody at the very end. But because of the union rules, all of the actors have to be named, you know, at the very beginning. So if you're sitting there, you're watching, and all of a sudden say, huh, Kyle MacLachlan's in this episode? Oh, cool. And then he shows up in the very last scene. It's like, oh, okay.
But you know what? As you're saying that, they did something like that on, it wasn't as crucial to the part in the Mindy project that I've started to mainline, the Mindy project. They did something just exactly like that, except the opposite, because they didn't roll the credits of all the guest stars until the very end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the show, I saw the name scroll across who's that girl? Well, whatever. I saw a well-known actress's name scroll across as one of the guests, and she hadn't been in the show. And then right after it went across the screen, she opened the door, and she was right there. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. That's cool. Because I think the same thing. If they would have put her name in the beginning of the show, then I would have been expecting her to pop up at any time.
Yep.
So why don't they do that more often then?
No. Oh, and this is a tangent. But Alan, the reason they keep showing the nurse, who I agree is probably the least funny part on the show, he's one of the producers.
Ike.
Yeah.
Somebody rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. He gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
Often, but I started watching those interviews at the Paley Center, and then I got that. I got that. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact.
All right. Okay, Keith. Sorry about
that.
At the end of the episode, Simmons and Morse are back with S.H.I.E.L.D. We learned that Mockingbird is Hunter's ex-wife.
Now, that was a good twist. That was key.
Yeah.
And Sky's father joins forces with Kraken, aiming to kill Coulson and everyone else.
Yeah. Now, I think Hunter is probably my height. I think Hunter seems like a small guy. He seems short. And Adrian Palicki is tall. Like 6-something.
No, she's 5'11".
She's like 9 feet tall.
So that's a cute little dilemma to have.
I'd climb that.
I don't think you're the only one in America that feels not. That way.
Yeah, she's actually 5'11", and I'm looking up his height right now.
They always have her in like heels, though, too.
Yeah, but they'll stage it, right? You know, I get that from Wendy Williams. I get that philosophy from Wendy Williams because she's like 6-something or whatever, and she's like, I'm a big old girl. I will always be big. I don't care anymore. I'm gonna wear my heels. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. And if you have a problem with how high I am, how tall I am, then you deal with it. And I'm like, well, go ahead then, do your thing. Why should you be ashamed? So maybe that's Adrian Palicki's situation. Like, I'm tall. I'm not getting shorter.
That's right. True. You know. At one time, she was going to play Wonder Woman.
Yeah. She's in that pilot. That's her in that pilot that's never been aired.
Did you guys ever see that?
No. I took the word of everybody that said it was horrible. And
one
then...
time, Joss Whedon was going to make Wonder Woman, too.
Wow. So. The guy, Nick Blood, which, by the way, is such an awesome name. He's 5'10", so she's not that much taller than him. Yeah.
I guess not.
I guess it is the heels.
Yeah.
I was hoping he was a little guy like me. Okay. I'm not 5'10", that's for damn sure.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
Hey, I'm taller than Alan.
Everybody's taller than Alan.
Except Mike.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
No wonder I love him so much. That's got to be the reason.
Mike.
It's impossible not to.
It really is. His infection. He's just so infectious with his exuberance all the time. Because there are times when I've been bummed out and I just listen to him for like 5 or 10 minutes and I'm happy again.
Shout out.
In episode 6, A Fractured House, S.H.I.E.L.D. becomes hunted by the U.N. So they attempt to make a deal with Senator Christian Ward.
Dun, dun, dun.
As in Grant Ward's brother.
Which is a time that we get to see exactly how insane Grant Ward actually is. Or is it the next episode where he goes after him?
I think it's the next episode. They basically agree to give Grant over to his brother, but Grant escapes. They kind of get back in the UN's good graces by the end of the episode. This also had a really awesome fight between May and Blacklash.
Oh, right. Is that his character's name?
Yeah, it's the name of the character was never said except for his civilian name, which was actually the original Whiplash in Marvel Comics.
Oh, okay.
But he's also been known by Blacklash, so I'm going to assume that that's what we're calling him here.
Right on.
And he's got the whip sword thing, and that was a pretty nice fight.
Yeah, I'm so glad they're using her like this now. It just took a while, and the people that I've seen be detractors of the series is because they just didn't hold out for the long game. They didn't wait until these days right here where May is the badass that they said she was. The Calvary, right? Is that what they call her?
Right.
Yeah. And it was a bit of a question, like, why? What is her reputation? Because all she's doing is flying this plane.
Yeah.
Oh, and the episode ends with a mysterious man entering a tattoo parlor, his body covered in the alien writing from off the obelisk that is also the alien writing that Coulson has going on when he enters those spells. And you're like, who's this guy? We don't know.
Hang on. You'll see.
Yes, in the very next episode, actually. He is a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, another member of Project Tahiti. Apparently all of the original test subjects for it couldn't handle it and had started going crazy and writing the alien writing.
Yeah, and this one...
Which is why they started erasing their memories.
There we go. And this one had... this one had, in the last episode, had killed a woman that he met supposedly through online dating. Mm-hmm. But he was really trying to meet her because she was also one of those former S.H.I.E.L.D. agents whose memory was erased and was living another life and had been painting those symbols.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. So she wound up, she lost her life, but she was she had a whole different life before, and that's why she was in that predicament to begin with.
Yeah. He was tracking them down to try to complete the symbols, which by the episode's end, Sky realizes is actually a map.
Of a city.
They turn it into a 3D diagram and they realize it's a city.
That's because the that guy who killed the woman in the previous episode, was going after another guy who didn't seem like he was connected to any of that at all, but had this model train set that he was building for his family, his kid. And when Coulson and the murderer was fighting, they went above the train set. And when they looked sideways at the train set, they could see the train set itself was a 3D model of that city. And it was that was a cool reveal. I liked that. That was awesome, kind of, actually.
Yeah. The episode also ends up with Ward captures Bakshi and delivers him to S.H.I.E.L.D. He's Kraken's right-hand man.
Yeah, Bakshi. Because there's an animator named Bakshi.
Ralph. Bakshi. Yeah. So that was a shout-out to him. But what did he do that for? He did that to get into Sky's graces again?
Yeah.
He's so obsessed with Sky, and he wants Sky to be his sweetie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I hate him.
Episode 8, The Things We Bury.
Well, wait, don't forget that he... Oh, maybe this is it. Go ahead, go. This is it. This is the episode. The Things We Bury. Talk about it.
Deals both with Ward confronting his brother...
Yes.
Apparently murdering both him and their parents.
Yes. At the end, though, you don't know this until the end.
He's a psycho.
Because it seemed like he wanted his brother to just apologize to him for the well incident that was the big question of, is Ward crazy or was he warped by a psycho
both.
Brother? And yes, the brother did that to him, so that was true. But then his retaliation against the brother doing that is killing him and the parents in a fire, in a house fire.
Psycho!
I hate him.
Meanwhile, Bakshi is being interrogated by Morse, slams his head against the interrogation table, breaking his jaw, which has an implanted cyanide capsule in it. They stabilize him, but he's in a coma.
Because his contract's not up. The actor's contract is not up.
We find out that Whitehall / Kraken is actually Reinhardt, the Nazi scientist from the first scene. We see his backstory where he was imprisoned by the SSR and In Prison for Life by Peggy Carter.
Because she doesn't play. Now that's what I mean, though, right? How does she get the, and how does she get that authority to do that? That's what made me think.
I think this was after the Agent Carter series.
All right, go ahead, Keith. Go on, boy.
And she's like, "We're just gonna, we want nothing to do with it. You're a psychopath. Screw you." And
she's not wrong.
She's like, "You're never gonna see the light of day again." So, 50 years pass, thereabouts, 40 years at least. He's an old man in 1989. He's released from prison by Alexander Pierce, a.k.a. Robert Redford.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Was his name just said? Or
yeah, his name was just said.
Because I know they didn't pay that Robert Redford money
to
get him on that show. Okay.
The Hydra agents were working for Pierce, set him up in a lab, and they managed to find the woman who was able to touch the Diviner in 1945.
Which is the obelisk.
The obelisk is the Diviner, which is what Sky's father calls it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still the same age. So he vivisects her, discovers her secret to immortality, and uses it to make himself young again. The doctor, who's Sky's father, finds her remains. It was his wife, therefore she is Sky's mother, and vows vengeance against Whitehall.
Now this is the episode where my theory on who Kyle MacLachlan was totally shot out of the water.
What was your theory?
Because of how he was acting in this just mentally deranged way, I honestly, up until that point, up to the episode, thought that he was Maximus the Mad.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Because he seemed like it. And I was like, wow, okay, this guy's changing on a dime. This has got to be Maximus the Mad.
I think at this point we'd all kind of figured that it had to do with the Inhumans, though, right? The Diviner had something to do with Terra Genesis.
Right. But then again,
we did that based on the map of the city.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling that city Adelan. We're feeling like it's Adelan.
Oh, the second I saw it, I texted David. I was like, "Have you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet?" He's like, "No." I said, "Damn it." When you do, remind me to talk to you about my theory about the city.
Yeah.
And then the next day, he said, "What's your theory?" I said, "Adelan." He said, "Not Wondegore?" I was like, "Nope."
Now, right? That's nice, Wondegore. And having one of the maybe the big bad be the High Evolutionary.
Now, actually, I don't know if it's going to turn out that that city was, in fact, Adelan, because it was abandoned.
Okay.
Maybe this is the cinematic universe, though.
Granted.
Yeah, yeah. Things change. Like, he still might wind up being Maximus the Mad, even if he fits into the Mr. Hyde category.
Yeah, that would just drive me completely crazy. Just like, I knew it, but then I didn't know it.
He is Mr. Hyde.
Definitely Mr. Hyde.
They've said his name is Calvin.
Yes, they did, Calvin. He said Cal. He said, "I'm just Cal." Yeah, that was the episode where they revealed everything at the end. And in the beginning, he said, "I'm just Cal." I'm like, dude, that's it. That's it. It's true. It's done. It's true. He's him. She's her. That's Quake. It's going to be Quake.
And meanwhile, I was like, oh, so he's not Maximus. Okay.
But the Diviner is clearly something to do with Terra Genesis, and then which leads us right into the next episode where the team splits up. Coulson and Morse lead a team to find the hidden city, while Mayskai and Hunter leave to help Sam and Billy Koenig, who have been out of the picture for a while, rescue Reyna from a Hydra kidnapping. Reyna tells Sky that the two that they're both worthy ones who could enter the temple and the city, and that any others will die if they try. She also says that the temple and the diviner were built by the Kree.
So they dropped that name.
Uh-huh. So the blue alien in the tube is officially a Kree.
Yes.
Sky tries to warn the main team, but Hydra has blocked their communications. Ward boards the bus to take Reyna, but he also takes Sky, promising to take her to meet her father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does go with... They're all telling her, don't go. They're going to kill us all anyway.
Mac enters the city where he gets possessed by this sentry thing, attacks the rest of the team.
And then when they defeat him, he drops down a long hole. Mm-hmm. So goodbye, one of two black guys.
Maybe.
For that episode, he was gone. So, you know, so it's the Walking Dead syndrome, right? The early Walking Dead syndrome, which I don't watch. So you can say anything you like about it. Spoil it, don't spoil it, whatever, whatever. But early on, when there were very few black people in the show, and it seems like they can only have one at a time, that you have one, you introduce a new one, then the old one has to die. That we're going to do that again, S.H.I.E.L.D., because this season they had Mac, the big black, big old black dude. I call him Smart Luke Cage. He joins
Triplet.
Old Trip, right? Who is black also.
It has to be Gabe Jones' grandson, because there's only a couple black people
in all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And they're all related.
So there were those two black guys on the show concurrently doing their thing, and that was so refreshing to see. They would have scenes together. Mm-hmm. They would outnumber the white characters in a scene sometimes. They would have substantial dialogue. It's good stuff. And I then started the countdown, because I'm thinking, how long are they going to allow this to happen, to have two black major characters in the ensemble?
Alan, You mentioned Walking Dead. Have you ever watched a show called Falling Skies?
No, also no.
Okay. They took one black man per show to the extreme.
Oh, man.
They had this one black character. I don't even remember his name, right? He was just always in the back. He was one of the guys who went out and shot aliens.
Shooter man. That's his name.
Pretty much. But then he finds – then they end up finding a bunch of people. And this guy named Jamie, black guy with his long dreads that I still to this day don't know who was taking care of him. Jamie joins the cast, and then the other guy leaves. Mm. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So then they had Jamie for a few episodes, and then the other guy came back. Guess what happened to Jamie by the end of that episode?
Oh, he got shot, killed, eaten.
Yeah, he got dead. He was dead before the end of the episode, and I was done with the series after that. I was like, you know, you guys try to hide what you were doing.
I will give Walking Dead this. They currently have five major black characters.
That's what I'm given to understand now. That's what I hear.
They had six. One died.
Is the show still incredibly boring like it was at the...
They're still wandering around the Georgia woods.
Okay, all right. I liked the first season. I started watching the second one, and then I think like four or five episodes, I was like, why am I still watching?
Actually, I found that season four was the best season.
Okay.
So.
I might check it out then.
Well, speaking of boring, because I heard of that last big spoiler of a major character dying, and I didn't know who that character was, because I hear the skinny and I get some of the background of it and what's going on without having to watch it, because I'm curious, but I just don't want to get attached and have my characters eaten that I got attached to. But this one, they spoilers this and that, and I've seen it, and I'm like, well, who was that? Was she in the show from the very beginning?
since season two.
That's the exact same reaction I had. I was like, oh. Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, whatevs. It can't be that exciting if the major character dies, you don't even know who that person is.
Okay. Last episode of the season so far. Everything leads up to them all colliding at the city. Hydra's going for it. Shield's going for it. May's arriving. Sky meets her dad.
Hold on. You mean they were only in Puerto Rico for two episodes?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a jam-packed two episodes.
Yes, it was.
Right. It sure was. Sure was. And there's a little side thing going on with Bobby after she interrogated
The heck is going on with that?
Bobby seems to be hiding something more about what she did while she was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Bakshi was using as counterbalance when she was interrogating him and trying to put the screws to him.
Apparently Mac is in on it, too.
I don't know.
He knew about it. I got the impression that him and Hunter, they know that she's up to something, and they probably know what it is, but they're not directly involved. At least that's the impression I got.
It looked like Hunter didn't know the details of it and is suspicious of her.
But Mac knows the details.
So that might be so. I didn't pick that up.
And apparently Xena knew the details too. But she's dead.
Okay, I hear you. But Hunter was trying to get it out of her. And what did she do to distract him from that line of questioning?
The oldest trick in the book.
Yes, sir. She wrapped them long legs around him, put him in the back of that car, and rocked his world. Changed his mind. He's like, what? Suspicions? I'm not sure if I know. What I was talking about.
The reason it's the oldest trick is because it always works.
Mankind.
Meanwhile, Sky meets her dad, and we find out her name is Daisy.
Yes.
And that Kraken killed her mother, and Mr. Hyde intends on killing him.
And that meeting was facilitated by Ward.
Yes.
Who was in this room with her and him and her father and Mr. Hyde / Calvin. And go.
So he goes to kill Kraken, leaving Ward and her alone. Ward frees her from where she's tied up. They start to leave. She pulls a gun and shoots Ward like three times.
And where does she shoot Ward? Where does
in
she
the shoot? Center mass.
She's behind Ward. Okay. We established that Sky will kill, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's behind him. And what is Ward wearing?
She doesn't know that he's wearing.
Is he wearing a helmet?
No.
Any kind of headgear whatsoever.
Well, I'm just saying she put three
no,
inside.
No, the answer is no. The answer is no. The answer to that question that I just asked you is no. So why, tell me, she didn't take her gun, level it to the back of his head, and blow his face completely off of his skull from the back? Why she didn't do that? No, she shot him in his big, muscular, powerful, thick torso just a few times. He falls and bleeds and breathes and lives. Demerit. I'm giving Sky a demerit.
But once again, she didn't look him in his eye.
True.
And that is also true. So she's got some kind of holdout weakness. She's not the consummate agent yet, but she a fool. Sky's a fool. She should have took that motherfucker out right then. Right then.
Mr. Hyde fights Kraken, and Coulson kills Kraken, and then Mr. Hyde, pissed off that Coulson took his revenge, attacks Coulson, and Sky threatens to kill him if he doesn't leave Coulson alone.
Which was cool, too, because that was Sky's two fathers. Mm-hmm. Right?
And she chose.
Yeah.
And I want to point out one thing. Kraken's death was one of the most underwhelming villain deaths I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they he just bang. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
it's like, wait a minute. He eviscerated a woman just a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
And just going to give him one gunshot and that's it.
Right.
But, you know, Coulson don't mess around. That was a heart shot.
Yeah, Coulson, he is the consummate agent.
He's efficient. But now, do we know that he's really dead, that Whitehall, Pinhead, Kraken? No.
Until you see a body, you don't really know.
We did see the body.
But no, is he gonna?
Is he gonna just lay there, be dead?
Sky's mother, we knew was dead because we saw the body all over the place.
Okay. We saw bits.
Yeah.
So until he's ripped limb from, until Coulson does what he did to Garrett.
Yeah.
Shoots him with a giant destroyer cannon.
Yeah, and see all his pieces go flying all over the place. Yeah.
Hey.
Because he was put together by whatever that science technology is of immortality, right? Right. So,
you thinking it could heal him?
It turned him from an old man to a young man, youngish man, younger than me, I guess.
Okay. Fair enough.
So he still might turn up, but there's no excuse for Ward being alive though. She should have blew his entire head right off of him.
Well, Ward, Agent 33, who's all confused now, looking like May but with a scarred up face, finds Ward and they go off to do whatever they're going to do.
Because she's all sad that she found Kraken's body.
Yeah, because she was loyal only to him because she was all brainwashed.
Because of the Faustus method.
Yeah, so she's all mixed up right now. Reyna has taken the diviner into the temple. So Sky goes chasing after her. Coulson and Triplett are racing after Sky to help. They manage to find Mac. He's still down there. He lets Reyna into the temple.
He's still possessed by that, whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
So that's more proof that Reyna is one of the special people because being possessed, he let her through.
He lets Sky pass. Triplett gets knocked into the chamber with them, I think. And I think he ran in.
Didn't he run in?
Yeah, he ran in.
Oh, as Coulson was fighting Mac?
Right.
Right, and the chamber shuts.
Yep.
And as soon as the chamber shuts, Mac just goes unconscious, I think.
Yeah, kind of like his strings were cut.
Yeah. So he's fine. He's just all, well. And inside the chamber, Reyna puts the diviner into the little pedestal thing. It opens, revealing Terrigenesis crystals.
And they haven't called them that yet in the show, right?
But we know what they are.
We know what's up.
The chamber fills with Terrigen gas.
Start the music. Start the sad music right now. Da-da-da-da. Because my dude, the second black guy, after the first black guy comes back to himself, the second black guy decides that there's a problem and his ladies are going to be in trouble, so he's got to sacrifice himself in some way.
Yeah, he shoots the crystals.
I thought he kicked them.
I'm not sure, actually. But a shard of it goes flying off and hits him. He turns to stone. Meanwhile, Reyna and Sky are encased in cocoons.
Because the Terrigen mists are affecting them because they are
inhumans.
Yes. And we get a nice shot of them coming out of the cocoons.
Sky, her cocoon bursts in an earthquake.
And Rhaenys is just peeling back a little bit, so we see her eye and maybe her skin, and she looks kind of scaly and reptilian a little bit.
She has either a reptile eye or a cat eye. There's like either some kind of quill or something.
Right. But Skye looks like Skye.
Uh-huh.
And she looks like something's going on. She's doing something.
Well, she causes an earthquake which shakes Triplet's body to pieces.
And exit Triplet.
Meanwhile, as the episode ends, another diviner reveals to a man with no eyes that there's a new one.
I loved it. I loved it except for Triplet leaving us. That was sad.
Yeah, Triplet was cool.
And that was the Whedon curse. Whedon's going to kill somebody you love.
Yep.
Not a doubt.
He'll kill your grandma.
But the I just got to give it to old Chloe Bennett for that one scene. Forget about the entire series and all the frustration you might have ever felt about the character, because I have heard so much Skye hatred going on.
Ugh.
But her ability to stand there and just look like some forces that she's either controlling, forces that she's terrified of, but it's also got her in the grip of its power, and then you have everything shaking around her like that, she really sold it.
I had absolutely no problem with Skye this season.
Yeah, no, me neither. I didn't have too much problem with her.
She got
in the
a
last
good
season.
Fight in with Agent 33. I forget which episode it was.
And I'm salty at her for not killing Ward, but I understand. Ward, he still has a contract with the show. They're not going to get rid of the character, unfortunately.
He still has more chaos to sow.
Yeah, now that he has Agent 33 helping him, yeah, that's gonna be good.
Did I tell you my theory for Agent 33?
No.
I have a half suspicion that she's going to turn out to be the cinematic universe's version of Madame Mask.
Oh, yes.
How about that, right? That's good, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I thought that, and when they first brainwashed Agent 33, I thought she was going to wind up being Mockingbird.
So did I, because they'd already announced Mockingbird was going to be in the show.
Exactly, until they announced that they cast Adrian Palicki to be Mockingbird. Then they spoiled that episode for me when they did that. But
she's literally wearing a mask. She's all scarred up.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's going to be Madame Mask.
Sounds good to me. I don't see why not. It's a good idea.
So, Mr. Hyde's still out there.
Yeah, and Daisy Johnson is now Quake. Well, she's Daisy. I don't think they've called her Johnson yet. But, you know, on that night that episode showed, I looked on Twitter, and people were retweeting things from the actors who have
Twitter
accounts.
She's like, I'm quaking with anticipation.
She said that. She said Chloe Bennett did say that.
I give the actors of the show a lot of props, because if you follow them on Twitter, they clearly love this.
I don't blame them either. Good
Brett
for them.
Brett Dalton really got into the whole, oh yeah, Hydra thing. Like, he changed his entire Twitter page to be Hydra themed. And
oh, did he?
Yeah.
See, are you trying to make me like this mother? Because I don't... I don't care. I'm not.
He's always like, when the episode's on, he's like making puns about what happens. And
see, that's one thing I can't do, though. I can't follow them while the show's on because I'm not watching the show in time. I have to watch it the day after, so I can't. I had to unfollow Coulson. It broke my heart. I liked him. I should have just muted him.
That's what you do. Don't have him.
He made me mad, though, when he started putting all that information at the back. God, I'm on the motherfucking train, dude. I'm watching your show. Why are you going to just spoil it for me?
Just change the setting that he's under so that you don't get the updates pushed to you, and you can just look up him up later.
You'll have to teach me how to do that. Is that different than muting?
Sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll find out. I'll find a way.
And Ming-Na Wen, totally. She obviously, she loves this more than
She is 50 years old.
51 now.
51 Yo. Years old.
Yup.
I think she had that procedure done that Whitehall had done.
She must have. Yeah, there's some eviscerated Chinese woman in her past or something.
Wow. My goodness.
50 Club, holla.
Lady look good.
Yeah, every now and then she'll post something on Instagram, and I just look, and I'm just like, 50 years old.
Wow. Son of a bitch.
Tell yourself 51 now. Yeah, we make the 50s look good.
You work it, Chong Lee.
Yeah, I look horrible at 47, so I need to start, I need to find a Chinese lady to go eviscerate or something.
Oh, no.
Keith's show does not approve of this.
Yeah. I was just going to say, disclaimer, that was a joke.
And I appreciated the fact that who they cast for that woman had wound up being Skye's mother. And I didn't realize that the actress Chloe Bennett is of Asian descent as much. Because when the theory was that she was Coulson and May's kid, that's when it became apparent to me, oh, wait a minute, Chloe, yeah, she does look like she's kind of Asian a little bit there. She could be their kid. And then when they cast that other person, that made even better sense. It's like, so they're keeping with that consistency, and that's good.
I just wish I knew how to pronounce her name.
Ming.
No, Daichin Lachman.
Who is that?
The woman
who played her mother.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, because she was on Dollhouse, right?
She was on Dollhouse. She was on this show called the, Last Resort?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't seen her in any of
those. Yeah, she's Australian, or New Zealand, one of the two. But when she speaks with her normal voice, it just blows me away each time. It's like, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
They're so good at our accents, and we suck so bad at theirs.
Yes, we do.
Oh, there's this, all right. Have you ever seen Jekyll? It was a BBC show called
Yes.
Jekyll.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
The guy who did that American accent had probably the worst American accent
I've heard.
Because I couldn't even figure out what dialect he was supposed to be going for.
Yeah. Sometimes they do suck.
The guy who played Jekyll is also on this show called Babylon, where he played a police commissioner. And there was an American woman there who once again had a horrible American accent. I was embarrassed when I found out that she's really American.
So now you were like, man, she sounds horrible, and she has like a speech impediment or something.
It was something like that. It was like, wow, what? Come on, you people aren't even trying to find out regional dialects. What are you doing? And it turns out she's from like New York or Chicago, someplace like that. And I was like, oh. Okay.
Whoops. My bad.
Speaking of British accents, mm-hmm. Come on, Keith. I just gave you a segue.
Right?
Oh, not yet, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't want to go there? Yeah, come on.
I have one more question for you guys. Do you guys have any suspicions as to who, if Reyna might be a existing character, who she might be?
One of the new Inhumans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, so I don't know.
Well, there was a series that came out years ago written by Sean McKeever, and I can't remember who did the artwork, and it was just the Inhumans, and it dealt around a whole different set of Inhumans. And, you know, not Black Bolt and the rest of those guys. But it didn't do as well as they had hoped. So now it's been repackaged as the new Inhumans. and the regular guys that we know and love, Black Bolt, Gorgon, Medusa, Karnak, Triton, and Lockjaw. Those guys are just the Inhumans. But
maybe she'll turn into Lockjaw.
No. No, no, no.
Hold on, let me get my book.
All I'm saying is, when the Inhumans movie rolls around, it better have Lockjaw.
No joke. That I'm not. I'm not.
That's
at
the
all
only real requirement I have for it.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it'll have like, say, will it have Chloe Bennett in it?
Don't know.
It could.
Will Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have wrapped up by 2019?
There's a chance that they might, yeah, they might stop it and just carry on in the cinematic universe.
See, they could, in theory, treat it more rather than a traditional Inhumans, where it's like the politics of like Black Bolt, and treat it more like their cinematic version of Mutants, and have like Chloe Bennett and then cast somebody to be like Kamala Khan and...
Well, I do think that they have decided to replace the mutants with Inhumans in order to like cast Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the Avengers 2, that they're not going the mutant route or even going to call
you
them.
You think
mutants.
They're going to be Inhumans?
Yeah, I think a lot of that. That's not just me either. I think I've read that in so many different places.
Yeah, and you can tell that there might be something to it because everybody from Marvel is not exactly denying it, but they're poo-pooing the idea. Say, does that make sense to anybody? It's like, well, yeah, else people wouldn't be bringing it up.
Yeah, right. They know, but
recent reveal in a certain book.
Yeah.
So that might be happening.
But it would easily give them two known characters they can put in the Inhumans movie right off the bat. People who were in the Avengers.
Right. But if they do, when they do that, not just if, but when they do that, I'm hoping that, I don't know, I do want them to maintain the integrity of some of the comic book Inhumans, but I've been reading the new series of Inhumans written by is Charles Soule, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see a character like the one that Raina looked like at the end of the show.
Yet. I read one thing that somebody said based on the eye that they thought she might turn into Tigra.
No. I hope not. Because Tigra's powers are mystical in nature, aren't they?
Yeah,
but I think they're going to try in the cinematic universe to only have Doctor Strange be mystical.
Yeah, okay.
And bring in all that universe then? Bring in all that side of the Marvel U, the mystical stuff?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
We will find out, though.
But apparently Vin Diesel has been either campaigning or hinting that he might be involved in the Inhumans thing in some way.
He could be the voice of Lockjaw.
Well, people are saying, well, his voice was used for Groot. Just cast him as Black Bolt.
Yep.
So he doesn't speak at all in that.
So his voice is in one movie and his body is in the other movie.
Exactly.
Pay him the same amount of money, though. Just split it in half. Whatever he got there in that movie is half of...
It would actually, I could see him playing Black Bolt.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Make sure he's wearing his, I want the costume.
Can you want the tuning fork.
The tuning fork, the whole cowl over the head. Why not? Why not? I think this is a good excuse. So every time that they have cast and put the superheroes in these movies, they got to say it's the real world, kind of. People won't accept the costumes. You got to modernize it up and whatever. And so they do. And you get all these buckles and seams and this and that. No skin tight, nothing. No bright colors, no nothing.
But then they come out with Captain America and everybody's like, that looks great. That looks like Captain America.
so they can get so they show that they can get away with it,
right.
That the audiences will accept it. Now it's time to expand it a little bit more. And since we're talking about Inhumans, they're not human. They're not of our culture.
They can wear whatever they want. That could be high fashion there.
So please, this time, for me, once,
Isn't the tuning fork essentially like his crown?
That I'm not sure of. And when a couple of years ago they decided to give them full names, I was kind of let down by that too.
Yeah.
Blackagar Boltigan.
So right?
So stupid.
It is stupid.
It is so stupid. I'm sorry.
No. Don't be sorry. It is stupid.
I didn't even find out his name until recently, and I was like, that's so stupid. That's so stupid.
Did they give Medusa a real name? Because Medusa just works as a name.
Because of what she does, that they gave her. I mean, but you know, the 60s creators said she's got hair that's alive like snakes. Let's call her Medusa. So they did. You can't justify that now and say that her actual alien name was Medusa-san or Medici Susion or something like that that's related and sounds like Medusa.
Now I got to find out if she does have any name that isn't.
I hope not. Because what's Crystal's name? And what's Gorgon's name? And what's Triton's name?
Her full name is Medusalith Amaquellen Boltigan.
Oh, no.
Amaquellen was her last name. I guess if you wanted to make her called Medusa Amaquellen, that's fine, I guess.
But no, see, she has an extension of her name, right?
What's this?
Her name is supposed to be longer than Medusa, and you shorten it and it becomes Medusa.
Tonaja.
Yeah, that's the person I was thinking of.
Reyna?
Yeah.
What's her deal?
She's one of the new mutants. The new Inhumans that I was telling you about.
What's she do?
Her powers. What are her powers? That she has wings, which allow her to fly. So yeah, that's what I was thinking, but it doesn't seem like that's going to work. So never mind.
You never know.
So what's going to be interesting now in the next half of the season is that we're going to have superpowers, guys.
Yes, we are.
We're going.
Well, we already did. We had Absorbing Man.
Yes, but now on the team, we're going to have the thing that I have loved from day one, which is the discovery and the training and the use of new powers.
Yeah,
on the team.
It seems like she might not realize she has the powers at first. Or might try to hide it.
She might. Yeah, well, I can see them doing that because of budgetary concerns and whatnot. But all they have to do is shake the camera. shake the camera and have things fall from the ceiling. So cost effective.
The only problem
What is this, 60s BBC?
Yeah, the only problem I see with all these new powers, these new Inhumans that could pop up, is that they could go back to the Monster of the Week format.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, like, every episode just led into the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is what I don't get. Crystal is now named Crystalia Amaquellen. Why can't she just be named Crystal? How is calling her Crystalia any more realistic?
Yeah, and Crystal doesn't have the name Crystal. The word Crystal doesn't have anything to do with her powers. So
yeah.
They could have. They didn't ask us. That's the problem. When they decided to do all this, they left us out of the decision making process.
See, this is my thinking of them making Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Inhumans. Quicksilver has such a history with the Inhumans, anyways.
Yeah. So do it. That's cool. I'll accept it. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It might even help me. No, never mind. I almost said I would, but I won't, except the Fantastic Four movie coming out.
I don't think anyone's ready to accept that one.
Just on principle that it's another universe, it's not the 616, and that's something just to accept.
Nope. Doom's an angry blogger in it. I'm done. I'm out.
But the Avengers and the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch being Inhumans instead of mutants, that's going to be radically different than the 616.
I'm fine with that. It's when you go into like, yeah, we can't accept an actual bad guy. Angry blogger. Boom! That's so awesome.
I'm hoping
remember this is the same company that wanted to make Galactus into a bunch of
clouds.
Yeah. So.
Well, suddenly that looks brilliant.
Nah, it's.
I don't know.
Lame. Well, that's all right.
The worst part is they have a good cast. You know.
To play these tried and true characters that we love.
They have a good cast.
They have good actors. Right, yeah. I don't necessarily know if they're right for the parts. I don't think, particularly Jamie Bell, I look at him and I'm not like, that's not the thing.
Yeah, I look at Miles Teller and I see, yeah, that's the thing, because that kid is ugly as hell.
But he's going to be ugly as hell, Reed Richards.
One thing that the previous two Fantastic Four movies got right was Michael Chiklis did make a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made a good Ben Grimm.
Uh-huh. I was like, okay, I see why they cast him.
Well, whatevs. I just need something to help me see it if I'm ever going to see it. And right now, I'm still leaning towards not seeing it.
Yeah.
It might not even come out.
On to better things. Agent Carter.
What'd you think?
I dug it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know me from listening to that Marvel pitch idea. I like period pieces.
That is not a comment on the fact that she's a female, ladies and gentlemen. Please direct your email to Keith at
Click. Oh my! Although that's funny because she did use that to weasel out of work.
Yes, she did. I was thinking that.
She's like, "I need a sick day. Why?" Lady problems? They're like, oh my goodness, leave. God.
So it did have the onus of the time of the culture being, you know, disenfranchising a whole gender of people, and all the white guys are in power and they're all smarmy with it, and it's never easy for me to accept. So I'm just like I can't watch Mad Men for that reason. I don't want to see a bunch of smarmy in power white guys treating everybody else who's not an in power white guy like they're second class or third or fourth class citizens. It's not good entertainment
for
me.
If you don't like smarmy empowered white guys, why did you come on this show?
Not smarmy. Take the word, emphasize the word smarmy about it. You can be an empower white guy. Just don't be a bitch and a bastard.
Life's a bitch.
Yeah,
so am I.
The guys on Mad Men and the guys that she works for, they're shitty dudes.
Yeah.
There's the one nice guy, the guy who lost his leg.
Yeah, but if he could walk without a cane, I'm pretty sure he'd be a shitty dude too.
I have a suspicion that he's going to be wind up being the husband that was mentioned in Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Oh, when she was older.
Mm-hmm. And if not the husband, then at least he's going to be a villain. Because that guy, he's another one. I can't pronounce his name either. But he's another one from Dollhouse.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. They like him.
Okay.
But she said that Cap had saved her future husband's life. And if he was a guy who had his leg blown off, I could see that.
Yeah, because didn't he even say that he saw Captain America once?
I don't quite remember, but he said he was pretty sure he was dead.
I'll be watching. Because yeah. That's cool. That sounds cool. I'd love to see that turn up.
I like that they cut in flashbacks from First Avenger into it.
Yeah. I read somebody's tweet that said, I hope they're paying Chris Evans for this. Because he was pretty prominent in some of those scenes. It was his scenes.
Do you know what? It works. I mean, he was a major figure in her life. It's...
So there's the aspect of her character never getting hooked up with anybody during this. How many episodes is it going to be? 13 or so?
Eight.
Now, we don't have to worry about any romantic entanglements because it's clear that she just is in love with Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
And he's unobtainable, so that's not going to happen, and nobody's going to match
up. He's giving her the cold shoulder. Aww.
Ouch. Horrible.
Yeah.
too soon. So we don't have to worry about that happening. And Jarvis is married anyway.
I'm so glad they made him married. For that reason. Because if they had brought him in and it was...
Made him a love interest.
Right. I would have been like, ugh.
I have a weird suspicion, actually, that the wife that keeps getting mentioned is not actually going to be a wife, but a live-in male lover.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't know why I have that feeling. I just got a feeling.
Is he calling the person a wife?
He is,
right? He's saying the wife.
But it's, it's 1946.
Right.
You wouldn't reveal that kind of thing.
No. Especially since back then you could go to jail for being gay.
Yeah. I have a feeling. I don't know why I have that feeling. Maybe it's just because they made Jarvis in the Ultimate Universe gay.
All right.
But, like... they did it so poorly in the Ultimate.
Surprise. They did something poorly in the Ultimate Universe? Yeah. No way.
It was like a punchline.
It started out so good, that Ultimate Universe. Oh. Let me down. They let me down.
Hey, man, they still got Miles.
Well, that's true. That's true. So what did you think about how empowered she was and what a fighter she was?
She was always like that. She was consistent with her character from First Avenger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whoop that ass, man. Standing on top of just battling on top of a speeding truck.
Yeah.
That stuff scares me. I always think, man, that could go so badly, so wrong, so quickly. I could never do that. These heroes of ours.
And, man, she is a bombshell.
Do you mean physically?
Just the look. I don't know if it's necessarily even just Hayley Atwell, but Hayley Atwell in the 40s? Damn!
She's got your stuff, huh? That's you.
With the accent.
Oh, you like it.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
Oh, speaking of them doing our accent better, when she switched into the American accent.
Yeah.
Seamless.
Did you like it? Was it good? What about you, Derek? Did you like it?
Yeah. Simply because it was... It came out of nowhere,
And she's like, you're suddenly sounding like a standard blonde hanging out in a nightclub. What?
Oh, when she was the blonde.
Yeah. But she also did it when she was pretending to be the dairy inspector.
Yeah. And it takes a lot. I guess that speaks to her personality when she took control there and got what she needed by just starting to order those men around, and she's a female in those times.
Yeah.
She had a clipboard.
All you have to have is a clipboard, and suddenly mm-hmm. people know a person's in charge.
Be they female, be they whatever.
It's like you can sneak into any facility as long as you're carrying a box. If you look like you're just going somewhere with purpose,
they let you in.
Yeah. Confidence.
Yeah. Try just being a PC tech. There are places where I know I shouldn't have been in, but because I was carrying a computer, just let me in. Okay.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. As long as you're just holding something and you're walking like you're supposed to be there.
Yep. And then if you just say, hey, get this door for me, all right? People will do it. No problem. Mm.
Espionage. I don't want to know any more, Derek.
Hey, I keep saying I'd be a great supervillain.
You would.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know anymore. I'm not trying to have people chase me around.
You already have a vast network. You could.
That's true. Maybe everybody else in your network are spies except me. I'm not in the network. I'm staying out of the network.
One of us.
Nope. No.
Yeah, Agent Carter, Howard Stark is being currently sought by authorities because they believe that he's selling his weapons technology to overseas factions, which in fact it is being sold by to overseas factions, only that it was stolen from him. So he recruits Peggy, who he feels is the only person he can trust to actually track down the people responsible for the heist. And in the course of the investigation so far, it has turned out that the people who orchestrated the heist in the first place are Leviathan, which I don't know if you guys remember.
No.
Nope.
They were another organization introduced in Secret Warriors. They're essentially the Soviet equivalent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm educated now. I did not know this.
And so it's going to be this whole... I'm guessing S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have to be formed to fight Leviathan because it's the whole Cold War thing. And both of them will have been infiltrated by Hydra playing the Cold War to their own ends.
Okay. And we'll see that. Meanwhile, she's disadvantaged by her position as a female in a man's world and such.
I would never call her disadvantaged.
Yeah. She's working those guys, and they none of them even know it.
Yeah. She is running them in circles.
But doesn't she seem frustrated like it's affecting her, though?
She's annoyed.
Yeah, but she uses that annoyance, though. She gets annoyed, and then she's like, okay, how do I get around this? Let's get around it.
I hear you. Yeah, good.
Good. And we saw Anton Vanko's father.
Yep.
I missed it.
Yeah, he was the guy that Jarvis took her to examine the casing on the bomb casing.
Okay. I just missed the significance that was him.
I'm wondering if by the end of the season we'll see him have turned over to the Russian authorities as referenced in Iron Man 2.
Well, I'm sure of it now. They've got it. They're good with continuity, which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah.
They'll take care of it.
That's really all we've seen so far. Oh, and we know that Leviathan orchestrated the heist of Stark's vaults to extract one individual item. And the rest have gone on the black market by the person who stole them. But
have they said what that one individual item is yet?
No, but okay. I'm wondering if it's going to be the turn out to be the Tesseract.
So another one of the Infinity whatevers that they are in the Marvel
Universe? Well, he had recovered it from the ocean floor at the end of First Avenger.
Okay. 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 So the major threat of these first two episodes was the some kind of explosive something or other.
Yeah.
It was an implosive.
A new type of explosive, implosive device that he'd come up with. But that wasn't the thing that they were at, that Leviathan was after in the vault.
All right. That was just a byproduct of?
That was one of the other things that was stolen and sold on the black market.
Gotcha. And behind the scenes, she tracked it down and took care of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they really wanted to tie everything back together, she'd be going after the obelisk, the diviner.
Well, the SSR had that.
Okay.
Yeah. Stark himself recovered the Tesseract, though.
Okay.
Unless it's like information on the Super Soldier Serum. Might we see her in the finale going up against a Soviet version of Captain America?
Well, she better bring some big guns. Unless she's going to be Miss Liberty and take it herself.
Or the guy with the cane ends up taking and becomes a patriot.
Mmm.
Wow. How cool would that be? Nice. That would be cool.
What they could do. Oh, they could have him be the insane 1950s Captain America.
I was just ready to say that. Because Captain America was going up against the communists in the 50s, and he was a crazy person.
Yeah, and she winds up having to fight him because he's, like, ruining Steve's name.
And that'll save us from another romantic entanglement and just give us a character. Don't turn her into a Mary Sue, I think the term is.
Trinity.
Or a Trinity, yes.
Yeah, because that's one thing that even my son gets pissed off about.
Wait, what?
Turning a female character into a Trinity. Yeah. You have somebody who's capable, who can kick all kind of ass in the beginning, and then towards the end, they're just somebody's girlfriend, you know? It's like, okay.
Big ups to your son.
Well, he
saw... Go ahead on there.
Yeah, he saw The Matrix very recently. The boring first one, not the exciting sequels.
What? You like to cause all sorts of trouble.
You didn't know I hate that first movie?
Nope.
I thought everybody knew. I can't stand the movie. It is so boring.
It is boring. I almost fell asleep during.
Thank you, son. He almost fell asleep.
Oh, I heard him.
But the second and third, those two movies, action-packed, kept me awake. But that's a different podcast. Hey, you're done. You're done.
I
want to
tell you something.
You can tell me later. Go on, you're done. If I don't shut him down now, he'll take over a podcast. Anyway.
We're waiting for you to give him a podcast. Let him.
Yeah, he should, but
what?
He's not villain enough yet.
Stephen Noyes.
I forgot where I was.
You probably weren't there exactly.
Probably not. Oh, I thought of something from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. discussion that I meant to bring up. Your guys' thoughts on the mechanics.
Oh.
As to what they might be.
Wondering if they're life model decoys, actually.
Right. Or if they're just triplets, or...
Well, I think they're probably life model decoys. I think they're probably messing with this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, if I remember correctly, the life model decoy was technology that only Fury had access to, right? And they were working specific, and Koenig was working specifically for Fury.
Right.
So...
And did they use that word in any of the movies or anything yet? The words? Life model decoys?
Yeah, as a throwaway joke in Avengers. Stark was getting a call from Coulson, and he was, "You have reached the life model decoy of Tony Stark." And...
Right.
Okay, so I think that's what that...
But Koenig made some offhand comment about his one brother being going off to recharge or something.
Yeah.
Thinks they're messing with us, but I think it's true. I think it's true. Just a little Easter egg they're throwing in there, though, because I don't think they're... Well, I don't know. They could possibly develop into a bigger storyline and show us the mechanics of it and use it to full effect or some kind of war or something.
War of the LMDs.
That's the best thing about... You know, everybody keeps talking about how there's the entire Marvel universe that they can draw on for the TV show. Right now, they have introduced so many concepts on the television show that they don't really need to pull from what Marvel has done for the past, 40, 50 years. They can go off on their own and create a whole bunch of, you know, create their own universe.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, Graviton still out there.
Yep. At the very least, there's still him.
Are we going to find out that everyone who was on that watch list of powered people were Inhumans, or...
Yeah, we don't know what they were, period, you know? And right. Don't forget, we still have the Netflix series, which are all supposed to be a part of the same universe.
Yeah, Daredevil starts in April.
Yeah, so yep. they could conceivably bring what's her name, Kristen Ritter, into this show
as Jewel.
Yeah, very briefly. Jewel. Right. This could, you know, they could have an episode that is basically the prelude to her episode, her to Alias or whatever they're calling.
Yeah,
Jessica Jones.
And there's rumors that. Hawkeye might be in this season.
I saw that. Which would be cool.
And maybe very expensive.
I think
if you're going to get any of the Avengers in there.
Yeah. I think that Jeremy Renner is probably the one that they could afford the most.
Maybe.
I mean, they got Samuel L. Jackson for the finale last year, and he was like... He wasn't just a walk-on. He was in that whole episode. He had action scenes.
That's Sam Jackson, though.
Exactly.
He'll do anything.
Sam Jackson is one of those guys who, when he was a struggling actor, he never forgot it. That's why it seems like he never turns down work. That man is everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's probably got enough money. He knows he does.
He's got Star Wars money and Avengers money. He's good.
Right? So he can afford to bounce in and bounce out for whatever. He doesn't have to have top salary.
Right. He can pretty much do what he wants. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Danny Trejo who says he has a rule. He does not turn down parts.
Yep.
If they are offering him money to act, he will take the part because he's been on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I've been to prison. This is way better, trust me.
Yeah, Sam Jackson has about $170 million. He's okay.
There you go.
Yeah, he can do it.
So good on him.
That's some what's in your wallet money.
Really? That's why he can do these things. And if anybody says Sam Jackson's, he's overexposed. He's everywhere. He's like, okay.
I don't care. He's like, I'm not doing it to impress you.
Remember, this guy gets paid to pretend to be other people.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
So good on him. I'm glad he lends himself to our show. But there's the whole cascade of the fact that our show had started from a comic book in the Ultimate Universe based on him to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that synergy.
I found out yesterday, actually, that that first scene with him at the end of Iron Man was actually scripted by Bendis.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I just found that out right now.
Same yeah. here.
Well, good. Good on all of them.
Because it was a last-minute ad, and they're like, you know, I bet we could do this. And he's like, okay.
Oh. And look what it got him.
Yeah. Look where it's taken all of us. I wonder if Bendis is getting that money.
He's part of the creative committee that consults on all the movies, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Plus, he should be getting some money from the movies anyway, because most of those, a lot of the ideas, the ones that aren't directly from Stan and Jack, they certainly seem to be from his Ultimates playbook.
Well, he created Quake. Uh-huh. He created Jessica Jones, Maria Hill.
Sounds like a lock to me. Sounds like he's set.
Yeah, Bendis, I think, is another one of those guys who I don't know how much he's worth, but I'm pretty sure that he does it out of the love. It's not
Bendis gets a lot of flack because they're like, oh, Bendis, he's everywhere, and blah 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 blah. But dialogue balloons, whatever. The guy works.
He's not getting any flack from me. I love it. And I want to write like him.
He, to me, is like the writing equivalent of a Rob Liefeld or a Todd McFarlane, in that the rest of the industry started to imitate what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
very true. And you know what? I personally owe Bendis because it was his run on Ultimate Spider-Man got me back into comics.
So there.
So I would not be having this conversation right now.
Well, years ago when I was at Heroes, when we all met, I bumped into Bendis and he said, oh, sorry about that. And I was like, okay. it was my fault. I bumped into him and he said sorry. So I was like, hey, cool.
That year when he was at Heroes, I actually got a chance to talk to him and thank him personally. I was like, Ultimate Spider-Man got me back into comics. And he's like, awesome.
But his line was way too long for me to wait, though.
Oh, well, I bumped into him in the hallway.
Okay.
He was going to a panel, so.
Yeah,
and you said what you needed to say to him.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. When you bump into him again, do that again and then continue to milk that. Keep milk having that Bendis. Relationship.
Yes. I will milk Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes. Nah. If it flows, it flows.
Enjoy that mental image.
Yeah, I was just thinking that phrasing, guys.
With my overalls and my pail.
Yeah, you're talking about milking Bendis and Alan's like, if it flows, it flows.
I mean, I have been so good on this show today. You guys have no idea. All this has come from you. None of this has been me. I'm saying
we're a horrible influence.
Nope. I've just been real good today. I've been exemplary compared. I've been good. I'm gonna have a good conscience about this appearance today.
You're gonna take this all out on Douglas and Dragons after this.
Yep.
You're gonna be terrible.
The doors, the gloves are off when. Yeah.
Well, One last thing. I just am reading that the Arrow and the Flash crossover is going to become an annual event.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
We like it?
Oh,
they
yeah.
They did pretty well with that.
Particularly the second half of it.
Yeah, The second half was when he was... The second half, they were both free of influences. And
yeah, when they were fighting themselves. Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking the first part, because that's when they had Felicity in that dress, right?
Oh, you know, that's another podcast. I could go on for a while.
Okay.
About that. Because... yeah.
Help yourselves. Enjoy yourselves.
To quote Barry Nugent, the show should really be called Felicity Smoking.
I've never heard anybody with that last name spelled that way. Yeah. Or that last name at all.
Oh, and the CW has renewed both Arrow and Flash.
Oh, that's no surprise.
I bet you guys hadn't heard this. The CW Seed, which is their online programming thing, has announced today that they are launching in the same universe as Arrow and Flash, an animated series about Vixen.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that.
It's been all over my Facebooks.
I haven't been on Facebook at all today. Oh, and by the way, Keith, to answer your question, yeah, I'm ready whenever you are.
Oh, okay. So we could start the podcast. Awesome. Okay, good. I'll hit record now.
So I got to bounce.
Yep. Okay. Promote use guys' stuffs.
Derek.
Okay. Is it thepowerprinciple.blogspot.com?
No.
What is it?
What are you doing?
I said promote our stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't mean for you to promote my
stuff. Oh, okay. All right.
No, I mean, when I said your name, I didn't mean for you. Derek, pick me up now.
No,
it's
no.
Your turn to pick me up.
You each promote each other's stuff. That'll work.
Well, since I just messed up his Earl, I think I should. Anyway, deliberatenoise.com. There you go.
See?
A vast network of global villainy and podcasting.
Pretty much.
where everything flows. And so much everything that flows from that is kind of been like my internet life for the last 4 years, I think. Like everybody I know and feel like family to me comes from your network.
It's all your fault, Derek.
All started as a joke. I keep telling people that it was a joke. I just jokingly said that I had a Deliberate Noise network because I was doing like 3 podcasts at that time. And the next thing I know, people were asking me, hey, how do I join? It's like, oh, I better get an infrastructure in place, huh?
Well, it worked.
But anyway, thank you.
It works for me. Thank you very much. So that means that the reason why I have anything to say about anything is led me to having a website, and it's thepowerprinciple.co instead of an M.
Okay. .co.
Yeah. The one that you named is true as well, and it was the background when I was doing the Kickstarter and stuff, but now I moved over to thepowerprinciple.co, which is where it's a webcomic now. I'm releasing pages 3 times a week that will cover the whole graphic novel, OGN, all 8 issues.
When is volume 2 coming
out? For free. And it comes out as soon as I've exhausted the pages of the volume 1. So as soon as I do the last page from the last page from the OGN, the next week, the new pages begin of the volume 2, volume 3, volume 4, forever, ad infinitum, as long as I live.
You better start building up your buffer.
Yeah. Oh, my buffer right now is 6 issues long.
Oh, okay.
All right,
okay.
Cool.
So no problem.
Okay then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on my comic book, I've already started page 2.
Oh, go, man!
No, you haven't seen the artwork.
That's not stopping me from saying go, man. Go, man. Go.
Hey, man, if XKCD can be a success, that's just stick people.
Right? So there you have it. Yes, sir. Right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show.
Thank you for having us. Well, yeah,
thank you.
Starring Keith. Please follow us on Twitter at KeithShowPod or like us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Our theme music is 8-Bit Dungeon Boss by Kevin MacLeod, provided by a Creative Commons license. The Keith Show is a proud member of the Deliberate Noise Network. For this and other great shows, visit DeliberateNoise.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.